And away we go. Scott Spears back with you here on a Getaway Friday, April the 1st, 2022, 16 minutes past the hour. And we've got a great hour of programming ahead here on WWGH Radio. 35 degrees and cloudy here in Marion. Do want to thank Superintendent of the Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi, for joining us in hour number one this morning to discuss all the issues going on in Marion City Schools. We got some answers that we've been looking for quite some time. Do want to remind everybody that tonight from 8:10 until 10 p.m. on this station, I'll be on live tonight with Angie Evers, and we'll have a special guest tonight who I'm going to tell you about momentarily. He is the guest who was on with us this morning. We only had 20 minutes in hour number one this morning, and too much of a good thing is never a bad thing, in my opinion, so we've invited him back for this entire hour, and he will also join us tonight for a few minutes to discuss anything that happens over the course of today or over the course of this conversation. As I've said before, he's one of the best broadcasters in the biz. He's known by the title The Golden Voice, but he's so much more than that. An intellect, a friend, a pal, a gentleman, and someone who will watch his language this hour as we go along, because we are still governed by the FCC on terrestrial radio. A man who has kept us entertained for nearly a half century now in the broadcast business to discuss all kinds of current events for the next 45 minutes. The outspoken, the honest, the opinionated, golden voice, Ted Williams. Ted, how are you?
April Fools. I love you, man. I love you very much, Scotty. And your introductions are just so outstanding and phenomenal. You know, I want to say one thing. When people, you know, is it customary to sit up when somebody says, oh, I just wish I had my, you know, girlfriend back here, or I wish I could see her one more time, or why didn't God take me first? Those kind of things. And then the only, you know, anecdote somebody gives you is, she's in a better place, man. Let her rest in peace. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that one sentiment. It's like there's no other, you know. One lady did say to me, you know, because grieving is a process, of course, and people just don't stop overnight, but I understand that aspect, but some days just are better than others when it comes to that, you know?
You know, so Ted, this is an interesting subject. Obviously, you're a very spiritual person. God was mentioned. God was mentioned on your sign many years ago. What is heaven, hell to you? Is it a literal place? Is it a place where you go with your mind? Well, we've never talked about this. This is good.
That's why. I'm not into. You know, I don't think this earth has been visited before. But I know other planetary, planets have been, or they inhabit some of them. It says the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And so the only thing that could substantiate any kind of weight would be a planet of sorts. But I think there is another side to this whole thing, you know. Some people look forward to it. Others don't believe it and all. I would like to think that there is a heaven which will allow you to be in a subconscious type of state of mind while you're sleeping. Because you remember when he woke Lazarus up out of the tomb, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, Lazarus, wake up, you know?
Yeah.
It's
interesting, yeah. Because it's the number two fear, dying. Number two fear is death. Behind public speaking, or at least that's the way it always was. But yeah. Should we be fearful if we are going to another place, another adventure?
Well, see, that's another thing. You know, people say, oh, he was tired of suffering, or oh, he suffered so bad. He went away. We all have a number. We all have a day to meet our Maker. So I would like to believe that, the fear part of it that comes in is like, how, when, you know, what's going to be happening in my life at this point? And all of a sudden I'm feeling bad one day and just have a massive heart attack or something.
Yeah, I think the unknown is always fearful, but I also think it's interesting how as human beings approach this. Uh-huh. Because if we have an illness or something of that nature, mm-hmm. we get paranoid and we think, uh-oh, this might be the end. But in the time that you get diagnosed until maybe the end does come, there are people who are murdered. There are people who have car accidents. There are people who have heart attacks, strokes, who never thought that they were going to go, and they're gone in an instant. So it's very different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that, if I live to be 70 years old, which is 5 years from now, my son will be released from prison by then. And I would get a chance to say, 70, the Bible says 7 scores of 10 is a nice age to live into,
What do you need to accomplish in the next 5 years to make you feel at peace?
Well, I want to do some more heavy broadcasting. I want a couple things to live on, and maybe get a couple more virals under my belt, and do some more work with other celebrities and their endeavors. I probably would like to do a commercial like, hey, if you're 70, then you qualify for Medicare A and Medicare B.
Boy, there's a lot of those.
I'm just having fun, yeah.
Oh, no, Joe Namath is out there all the time for those.
And so is now George Foreman, along with J.J. Walker.
Well, at least they're working.
Yeah, Jimmy Walker.
At least they're working. Well, it's interesting because I think
that's
about
right,
this. Is there anything you would not do? Is there any big-time offer that would come along? You would say,
no windows.
Yeah.
I don't do windows.
Well, yeah. Well, is there anything in broadcasting you wouldn't want to do?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a gopher at this point, in my age and my experience and my years in broadcasting. I wouldn't want to. Hey, Ted, can you get me that box over there? Yeah, I wouldn't want to be an intern at a station, If I had to start that way, then, now True acclimate me to the various high-tech, equipment and things of that nature. Give me another go-by on programming as well as a music director. That's all my experience. These new guys, these younger fellas, have this high-tech stuff to where they can write at their fingertips. There's no creativity with broadcasting no more. You remember carts and sound effects and all of those things.
Yeah, and they're all gone now. And I think there was more creativity in those days because people had time to fill, and you had to fill it with something that you hoped was entertaining or informative.
Exactly.
Now,
I wouldn't want to be a gopher.
I understand that. Now, let's go to, because I haven't got your opinion on this. It's been a while since we've talked on the air. This whole thing going on in Ukraine, I mean, it's been going on for over a month now. They say there are peace talks going on between Russia and Ukraine. What have you made of this whole thing?
Scotty, to be honest with you, it's like I hope it doesn't become one, somewhat of a genocide like the Holocaust situation or the T-C's and the tutus over with Idi Amin. I hope it doesn't become a bloodbath like that, dictatorship and all of that. Putin has got the wrong president, I think, in the event that he thinks we're going to chum up with him, unlike our former president Trump did. I don't think Biden did that. But Biden has his own issues as well. He has this pandemic and a bunch of other things that he has to worry about. I don't know whether he's being fed anything by Fauci and Bill Gates and a few other things that's going on. It doesn't seem like he's running the country.
What do you make of Vladimir Putin? Why do this now? What is he out for, in your opinion?
Trade agreements and some more money. Russia is like pitiful, man. As far as the economic, they're just pitiful. I don't know what you would say. They're trying to still become the Iron Curtain, the USSR.
Are you surprised by the number of Americans who want to go to war? I think it's lessened in the last few weeks, but boy, when we opened up the phone lines when this first started, 90% of the calls where why don't we just go in there, save Ukraine, and knock Russia back? I did not.
Oh, some of our allies wouldn't be down with that.
Well, it's also
in NATO.
Well, it's interesting to me because if we did that, we would be fighting on their turf, pretty much.
Exactly.
And Russia does have nuclear weapons, and
exactly.
It is true that they probably can't reach the United States. But if we put our troops in Ukraine, their nuclear weapon could certainly reach Ukraine.
Absolutely, that's what they want. They want that territory. That's what I think Putin is trying to do. Solidify the unit to be one nation, new world order of things. He wants to be a part of that aggression.
Now, Ted, as somebody who served in the military yourself, do you advocate war if this does not get resolved with Ukraine?
No, I am a conscientious objector. And, I don't see it. I only see it in the path or in the direction of saving human life. Or like Vietnam, everybody, discredited its purpose in American society. It did create a lot of problems with napalm and it caused a lot of injuries health-wise. Let me get up. I'm feeling like I need coffee or something here. But yes, I feel that war should be something only that it doesn't include a whole entire nation. With, get a fight done in 30 days or less.
make
your points and get the damage done in 30 days or less.
Well, the last time we were involved in a big boots-on-the-ground conflict was Iraq, and by the end of that war, this country had really turned against that particular war.
Yeah, they thought that was unnecessary, didn't they?
Yeah, in the beginning, I think public opinion was more than 50%.
They didn't want Saddam Hussein or Ayatollah Khomeini back in the early days, and Osama bin Laden, and many other those ruthless evil people.
It's a very interesting thing. I want to turn to Ohio here, because we've had a change in our gun laws, which is kind of interesting. Ohio's Mike DeWine, governor, became the latest GOP governor to dramatically roll back his state's gun laws recently, when he signed a bill allowing all Ohioans 21 and older who can legally purchase a gun to carry a concealed firearm without a permit, training, or background check. What do you make of that?
Terrible, because here you've got felons that are going slide by the process, and then you've got killers out there. Somebody say something. Guns should be to people who are responsible, and certainly no background. I mean, a background check, seeing that out of the equation, there's going to be some uprising that, like you wouldn't believe, racially and, politically.
Well, it's interesting because now in Ohio, you can carry a concealed firearm, which means you don't even have to show it anymore, without a permit, no training, or a background check. All you have to be able to do is be 21 and legally able to purchase a gun. Well, see, here's what I don't understand. Legally able to purchase a gun. Well, if you don't need to do a background check, who's not legal?
Exactly. Exactly. You'll have all kinds of citizens. African citizens, European citizens, Cuban, citizens, they'll all be getting guns.
What do you make of the standard response to this, which has always been guns don't kill people, people kill people?
Yeah. That's just an opinion. People do, money's not the root of all evil. It's the lack of money that is, that kind of thing. I would hate to think that's what we live by. Guns don't kill people, people kill. Cops kill and everything else. Protection, the bare arms, that is a issue. And the gun, the gun laws, what do they call that? I'm trying to think. Yeah.
you know, who is for the amendment to bear arms and protect?
The NRA?
There you go, the NRA. You're going to have issues with that all along the line.
Well, it's interesting. The other day I was watching an old video from 1992, and President Richard Nixon, who was a Republican, was actually for gun laws. I was listening to this interview, and people can find it on, I think it's on YouTube. If you search Richard Nixon C-SPAN, it's a long interview with him. But at one point, they go to gun laws, and Richard Nixon, this Republican, talks about how more people were killed in the United States by guns at that point than were killed in the Desert Storm war that we were involved with at that time. And when he saw that number, he said, well, there has to be some kind of gun law. So even Richard Nixon was for gun laws.
Yeah. Well, Nixon, you see where he ended up. you know, Reagan was up with gun laws, right?
I think toward the end of his life, he became more for it. Republican presidents do tend to be against that sort of thing. But a lot of times, as they get older and they get out of office, they do come around on that one.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, walking around with a pistol doesn't do nothing but to put, you know, choices in people's minds that they don't need to be. They get assaulted like my man Chris Rock did. That Chris would have pulled a gun and shot him.
Well, you know, that is
not
the question.
Well, yeah.
If you are carrying a weapon and somebody assaults you, now not kills you, not injures you, maybe just slaps you, you know, is the tendency to pull the gun out?
There is. My son's incarcerated because of that situation. A guy, more or less, that was trying to talk a lot of crap in his house in front of his kids. And had a gun on him, and my son got a gun, came back to the house, and they both wanted to prove who's going to shoot first.
My
son gunned him down.
What have you said to your son about that?
What were you thinking? Why in the world, outside of no gun cleaning or handling a gun or aim or any kind of aim, marksmanship, anything, what in the hell were you thinking? Because I thought he was going to get life, to be honest with you. And then there were circumstances that broke it on down to a manslaughter charge, and he got 13 years. Of course, the family was totally appalled at that kind of sentence because my son was under the influence when he did it. I have to say that. And that doesn't make no difference. If you're holding your gun and you're under the influence and somebody punks you out, slaps you, or whatever, there is a tendency that most people would do is go to the gun because that's the equalizer.
Have you ever owned a gun or do you currently own a gun or have gun training?
Yes, my mother gave me a Smith & Wesson 5-shot 12-inch barrel, and it's an oldie. It breaks into the barrel. I mean, actually, the barrel and a military man can't even pronounce it. It breaks at the barrel. It breaks in half to load it. It's a real old antique gun. Yes, they've offered me a few $100 for it, but it was her father's. And my mother is from Plain City, and he was a detective, Lowry, Lowery. Detective Lowry was her uncle, and he gave it. That was his service revolver.
Now, would you ever have or carry a gun? I mean, you're a man who's in public a lot. No. Would you ever carry a loaded gun in public?
No, certainly would not.
Have you ever felt not protected? Because that's a lot of the argument about this, is that I don't feel safe. That's why I carry one.
I listen, I believe in God, and if whatever happens was meant to happen. Now, I'm not going to hang around people who, bring those kind of instances in my life. You know, there's no need for it. I know now, random people are shooting just all kinds of things. They're going in now and just shooting people at will, like Columbine, you know. I can't help that, so I'm not going to carry a gun. Or be reminded, hey, I'm going to this concert tonight. Someone may be shooting.
Well, you, a lot of people would be able to carry now legally in the state.
Yeah, yeah. And let a guy, let alone women, will be a magnet for all kind of situations to come into it, because a man's going to protect his woman. And if somebody disrespects my woman, then we got an issue.
You know, yeah. Ted, when we're coming up on the May primary for governor, and you were in the governor's race for a minute this past year, but now that now that we look at this, where it actually is, what do you make of what we have? We have Governor DeWine here, who is
nobody's addressing the situations where they're closing down schools, and that I'm speaking of Columbus. I don't know what the education levels there are in Marion, but we're not even up the level. The Southwestern City School District is doing a lot better than Columbus Public Schools, but yet we're closing down schools. Outdated books should be addressed, you know, in various cities, so we can educate our kids. I think putting handwriting back in there with cursive, back implement that. Otherwise, let's go back to the Pledge of Allegiance, you know.
Well,
if you're not going to keep all that, and then privatizing all these prisons, and then the fair housing laws, those are the challenges I want to meet if I did go back to the gubernatorial race. And I'd like to truly debate it with great help and your help in aiding me in the debated issue.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very interesting because Joe Blystone, who is running against Mike DeWine in that May primary,
he has a pass.
Yeah, well, and there is going to be no debate because DeWine says he does not want to participate. But if you were up against somebody like Joe Blystone, who I think believes in this gun law, who believes in Republican values, I believe he does. If you were debating Joe Blystone, you're not running for governor, but I think it would be a very interesting debate.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, the gun law situation, you know, there's people right now making fake IDs to acquire those guns. You know, you have to remember that. Then you've got places, these sporting good counters that really don't check anything. Even if you were told, they just go ahead and give you the ammo and the gun, the rifle, and, you know, hunting season, that'd be a great way to, you know, oh, man, it's just awful, awful, man. Our entire nation is going into a crazy way of life, you know, letting all these foreigners in our territory, and then aiding them with various tax breaks, putting them on Social Security rolls, welfare rolls, any kind of finance. There's no need for all of that. Address the problems altogether that we have as a nation. Make our cities and our schools strong, you know. Get housing laws that can develop a person's character and make them want to, you know, hold a job before they get evicted. They have to maintain employment, gainful employment, and give them some incentives, not giving all these stories and, I mean, people from Ukraine, you know, just because they're going through a situation with their country, you know, and then, come on, we'll let you live on the American dream here and tax some of our people to pay for yours, no tax.
Well,
makes our city strong, man.
Well, you know, Ted, you're not running for anything this time around, but if Joe Blystone wants a debate in the next month, maybe you and he can have that conversation.
I certainly would love it. Is he coming to Marion there or Columbus here?
Well, he does come to Marion periodically. He lives down that way. I mean, I guess we could do it really anywhere.
Yeah. Talk about making Marion a lot stronger. You know, a week ago, you guys had a shooting there, didn't you?
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. You had devastated a lot of families. I mean, one of the families that lost a loved one in that situation. I don't want to go into heavy detail, but yes. I'm looking forward to getting back on here, and I think I'm going to make my monumental leap of faith with the good old family of WWGH close 7.1. You know, everybody has a great, great team there. There's lots of great talk in the community of Marion, from what I understand. And we won't be doing Amos and Andy, but we'll see. You know, I got a lot of things I need to talk about and let Marion know that they stand in the same direction, but either A, don't want to admit it, or join the bandwagon, you know.
Well, it's
very conservative people there, Marion.
Well, it's an interesting point, Ted. There are things going on in your life, and the question I always get asked when people ask me about you is, how's Ted doing? So we got about 18 minutes left here and some other things to talk about, but let's answer it for him. How's Ted doing?
Ted is doing mediocre, you know. My spirits and all are very high. My hopes are still alive. My family and all have received me greatly, and so I say that was one of the many prayers that I've had answered. You know, I've lost my mother and my father during these past 10 years. And I've lost my dear girlfriend, as you all know. But, you know, outside of the grieving process, and many, I am truly going through it. You know, as much, if you go to Google right now or and try to find out what's the net worth, it's $500,000 or more. I've even got some sites saying that my net worth is $1 million. Don't believe it. Do not believe it, or even comment there and say, no, Ted, that is nowhere near that, you know. The money that I've been taken for was $750,000 in 10 years. But actually, it was a lot faster by a lawyer who was posing as my agent. And, he was my agent, my landlord, he was doing things which was unethical. I should have known something by that. But I did get a $385,000 book advance, which was payable in $493,000 increments. And this lawyer, who I want to name so bad, but I call myself forgiving him, he just literally raped me, misappropriated funds with an NBA, I should say, an NBA head coach for the Denver Nuggets at the time that was we were money laundering with. And so if there's ever a song, I mean, ever a show that could embody my experiences in these 10 years with managers and lawyers, all of that, I would be on the television show Unsung. I should be on there.
Well, what has happened over the years with management? What has been the big issue in your opinion?
Well, up until last year, it was my girlfriend, whom everybody knows I devoted a lot of time to and wasn't paying attention to things I was signing only because I trusted and the people that were guiding me, or at least finding a few here in their jobs, of course, taking more money than what they were supposed to, and end up receiving money. And when I needed something, they would buy it for me out of my own money, and then I would pay it back, paying back my own money. Yeah, so it was terrible.
Now, Ted, a lot of people wonder, are you still with Kraft?
No, or not even Scott Anthony, to be honest with you all, and somewhat solo, representing myself and signing my own checks and so forth, which there's a lot of things that have come up this year. When I told you at the first of the year and the Happy New Year bid, that I, when people say, well, how was your New Year? Well, I got a few contracts that I signed. One was for a television commercial, playing myself, a cameo role of me, myself, for Cox Communications, COX Communications, which is pretty much the spectrum of the West Coast. And if I was bilingual, I would have made $75,000. But what I signed was $45,000 contracts, in which I don't get no residuals. It's called a guaranteed spot. But I haven't cut it yet because I've severed my ties with the guy that was representing.
Now, Ted, are you still with the Kraft Macaroni and Cheese Company?
Yes, I'm still, I'm not getting anything from them, but I still, once they get through this merging situation, so the Heinz Company paid $80 billion for Kraft Mac and Cheese. It's the largest merge in that type of product. And so, yes, I'm on the back burner, as they get when their first campaign comes out, you'll know you love it.
I love it. 46 minutes past the hour here, 14 minutes left with our friend.
I'm still working with Dave Chappelle on his podcast called Midnight Miracle on Luminary Apple Podcast. And I do voiceover work for some of his spots, which are, I would say, bi-quarterly.
Very nice. Now, Ted, I want to talk to you. Maury Povich, longtime broadcaster with the Maury Povich Show, was on for 31 years, recently canceled by the network, and Maury now says he's retiring. This show, in the beginning, it was your typical talk show with guests and so on and so forth, but deteriorated into basically paternity tests and who's the father of the child the last few years. What do you make of Maury getting the axe?
Man, that current affair, I think that's almost like asking Ted Koppel. But, you know, Maury is so polished. He's a great personality. I've never met him, but he's a great TV savvy. He's a great TV savvy personality that adds to the network. To get cancel Maury and let Jerry Springer still ride, and even got Judge Jerry. It's a travesty in the world of journalism.
Well, it's also interesting that Judge Jerry was also canceled.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was worse than Judge Joe Brown.
What?
I didn't like Joe Brown at all.
What do you make of the end of the broadcast road for
and
these long...
Steve Harvey?
I think Steve Harvey's still there.
Judge, yeah. Judge, have you seen...
Not a bad show.
Oh, really?
He seems to take it more of in a comedic way, so I think it's more... It's not as serious.
Night Court.
Yeah, not as serious as some of those other Judge shows, but when it comes to Maury, the last few years that basically this legendary broadcaster, as you say, who started out on A Current Affair, who is very smart, was basically reduced to every show 45 minutes saying, you are the father. You are not the father. And that's what that show became. What does that say about the state of broadcasting?
That we're just reaching for straws, trying to get rich quick. It's like a get-rich-quick scheme, you know, trying to get rich quick and jump out of it. And you are the baby. Paternity has to be settled on television court. You know, you are the father. You are the... It's pathetic. It's really pathetic that broadcasting will sell, or should I say sponsors, buy that kind of thing. Because that's how they're paid, through sponsorship.
Well, and it's interesting. What do you think the Marconis and the David Sarnoffs and the Bill Paleys and the Jack Bennies and these people who helped lay broadcasting out would think now that for 45 minutes, 5 days a week, you have a guy on giving paternity tests?
I said, it sounds very sad, Scott.
Yeah, it's sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
Now I do want, we did talk a little bit about the Amos and Andy thing last time you were on back in December. And, you know,
Are they still running that?
As far as I know, yes.
What the hell out of here? You're liable to hear anything on the Ted Williams Show now.
Well, but, you know, for people who don't understand, remind them, because it's interesting. Why should that not be on the air in 2022, Amos and Andy?
Well, you remember what we said, man. We're going forward. We're not going backwards, especially in that jargon that they talk about. Yeah, boss, I know. Yeah, sir. You know, and then, you know, the superiority aspect of it, an era that reminds me of Jim Crow era, you know, people were getting lynched and limit kills and all that, but you had two happy black folks talking like, yeah, boss!
Yeah, it doesn't add to our... It adds to history. That question will stay, and not a reminder.
Well, it's an interesting thing. Now, we had Dr. Ron Arusi on from the Marion City Schools in hour number one, and they got some... statewide attention this week at a school board meeting. Some teachers from the Marion City Schools showed up and talked about how they had had their hair pulled, hit against walls. Teachers had had things thrown at them. One of the teachers had been backhanded in the face and was afraid to go to the school building. This got a lot of attention on Columbus media, local newspapers, local radio stations. We had the superintendent on. But what do you think of the way students are treating teachers these days?
Well, you know, people have always messed their authority or taken the authority to levels that shouldn't be done, you know. Years ago, you know, your teacher was responsible for discipline of some sort, but you say that the teachers are doing this, pulling hair.
No, the students are doing it to the teachers.
Oh my God! See, I'm not on very much this wish, but if you're telling me that students are somewhat terrorizing, that's weird. By their parents and anything else, if they are caught and adjudicated of some sort, they should be ousted, not banned from education, but really remedial-wise, they should serve some time, man. You're pulling the teacher's hair and all of that.
Now, what would have happened in your day, Ted, when you were in school, if you had backhanded a teacher?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Yeah, what in your day, if you had backhanded a teacher, what would have happened?
Man, I'd have gotten murdered by my mom, let alone my dad. I would have thought, oh, no, man. I believe they would have thought I'd lost my mom.
Do you think we have respect for the educational system at this point?
Yeah, yes, sir, we should. One second here. Scotty, hold on.
Okay, we're chatting.
I'm powering off, man.
Yep, we're chatting with the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. He is giving his opinions on an awful lot of things here this morning, 53 minutes past the hour here. WWGH Radio Time. Do want to remind everybody that I will be back on the air tonight with Angie Evers from 8:10 until 10 p.m. I look forward to that tonight. Chatting with Angie about the Big Ten tournament and everything else going on in the world. It's always a fun show, a nice little conversation piece here on the station, 8, 10 until 10 p.m. tonight here with Angie Evers, and possibly a call-in from Ted Williams tonight. It's been fun chatting with Ted this morning, and Dr. Arusi over at Marion City Schools. I certainly appreciate him calling in. I think he shed a lot of light on what was going on over at the Marion City Schools and the fact that I guess they were aware that a lot of this was going on, but there are state standards and state laws as far as students go to what you can do punishment-wise. But a task force has been formed at Marion City Schools, and I guess we will see how that all shakes out. We can only hope for the best. I don't think anybody wants anything bad to happen. Now, the story itself obviously did not come off good for Marion, but that's the way it goes, I guess. As long as they get the facts right, I guess that's the way it goes. 55 minutes past the hour. Now, if you have anything you want to say about the conversations we've had with Ted this morning or Dr. Arusi, we do have a few minutes here, 55 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz and we can discuss it. 36 degrees here in Marion. Kind of an odd day. Started out with snow. Now just kind of rainy and lazy and hazy and overcast and all of those things. But it is Friday, so it is the end of the work week, so we all can be happy for that. 56 minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday. Boy, it's the month of April. And are people out there today playing April Fool's jokes on other people? Is that a thing of the past? I don't know if people still play April Fool's jokes. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. And again, I do want to do this every so often because I know I have some cards there at the radio station. And again, I appreciate everybody who has sent me a card or who has sent me a letter or sent me a message on Facebook or called me on the telephone. I thank you for that. Things are still going well. Obviously, this week we had some issues, technical issues, which is why I was not on the air a couple days. But certainly glad to be back on the air here this morning. And I just thank everybody. It's very, very nice and appreciated to send the cards and the letters and the phone messages and everything of that nature. 57 minutes past the hour. Telephone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Do you have any opinions on Ukraine or Chris Rock and Will Smith or the Marion City School situation? Or what else have we talked about this week? Gun laws in Ohio. Governor DeWine and Joe Blystone down at the Beef Expo a couple weeks ago. Boy, wouldn't it be interesting to see Joe Blystone debate Ted Williams in a debate that is not with two candidates? You know, Joe Blystone does not get a chance to debate anybody because Mike DeWine and Jim Renacci do not want to have a debate. Well, if Blystone wants to have a debate, wouldn't it be interesting to see him go head-to-head with Ted Williams? So at least we can hear what Blystone has to say and see how he handles himself under pressure. I think certainly Ted was up for that. That would be something to see. Would you want to hear that here on the station? Would that be something of interest to you? Joe Blystone and Golden Voice in a debate, if we were able to pull that off. 740-751-4038. Let me know. 58 and a half minutes past the hour, 36 degrees and hazy here in Marion. And again, please don't forget to tune us in tonight, 8:10 until 10 p.m. I'll be on with Angie Evers tonight and possibly Ted Williams for a portion of the program. So it is something to not be missed, 8:10 to 10 p.m. tonight on this station. Also, we have all kinds of good programming coming up after this program this morning. There are two special encore programs that you will want to hear on this station that are not to be missed. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that this past week there was a hearing with the PGCO concerning the rate hikes that Aqua wants to put into effect.
Oh, okay.
And I went, and there was hardly anybody there. I just wanted people to know they can still send their objections. They can send them in writing or on the website for the PGCO for Ohio.
All right. Well, hey, we'll...
Because they want to raise our water rates 12% and our sewer rates 12%. And people like me that are on fixed incomes, it's not good.
No, I understand. Hey, we're coming up on the break, but I'll pass that along. Listen tonight, and if you have any more information, give us a call tonight.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Hey, for this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Talk to you at 8:10 to 10 p.m. tonight.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott? Oh, wow. Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am